Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spurs in full cry here.
Welcome, listeners, to the Extra Inch podcast. It's just me, Windy, to give you a quick intro to a special podcast. I just spoke to George from the Fulham-ish podcast about Josh Onuma and Ryan Sessegnon, and I thought that our listeners might be interested in the content as well, so we're just releasing this as a quick bonus episode. Hope you enjoy.
Hello, this is George Cooper for the Fulhamish Extra, and I'm joined by the one and only Chris Miller, who joins us from the Extra Inch Tottenham Hotspur podcast. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good, thanks, George. Yeah, good to speak to you.
Yeah, no, likewise. Thank you so much for coming on. It's much appreciated. And it's good to have the opportunity to speak to the club that we provide so much young talent to.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? There are a few links these days.
Of course. I mean, it's historic. We are your feeder club. Make no bones about it.
We're both playing white, so it kind of works out perfectly.
Yeah, playing white, you know, it's not too far across there, just north of London. But it happens historically. I've learned never to get attached to any sort of Fulham player because Tottenham are going to come in. It's inevitability. You know, there's three things are certain in life as a Fulham fan: death, taxes, and Tottenham are going to poach your best.
And it's always the mercurial ones as well. First there was Mel Brank, then there was Dembele, and now there's Sessegnon.
Yeah, and don't forget Clint Dempsey in there as well.
Dempsey, yeah, of course.
We seem to get your players after you've kind of had the best of them as well. I mean, I use that very lightly because we had many fantastic years with the likes of Danny Murphy and Simon Davis, but it seems to work both ways. We've got a kind of weird cyclical nature of transfers. So we wanted to ask you a few questions about Josh Onuma. He was obviously part of the Sessegnon deal that saw Sessegnon go the other way, and we understand that you're the kind of youth expert. You're very sort of focused with the youth of Tottenham, and we just wanted to ask a few questions because Fulham fans aren't too familiar. We saw him play on loan for Aston Villa in the Championship last season, but we just wanted to ask, first of all, were you sad to see him go?
So I was sad to see Josh go, but also happy for him because the time had definitely come. But I think I'm pretty much alone in Spurs fans in thinking that. So the popular opinion on Onuma was that he's not good enough for Tottenham. And I think that it's a fair enough opinion if you've only seen Spurs' first team. But if you saw Onuma play for Spurs' under-18s or 21s or 23s, then I think you'd be pretty disappointed to see him go, given the amount of potential he had, the amount of ability he had at that age when he was coming through. I mean, he's represented England from the under-16s to the 21s. He's been in literally every age group. So he's a player that has been highly rated throughout his whole youth career. And that's for a very good reason. He's an excellent player.
It's interesting to hear. I mean, he's only 22, so he's in the kind of seedlings of his career somewhat. And to already have come to the analysis of you don't feel like he's quite good enough for Tottenham. What do you think of the short? We'll come on to his strengths a bit later, but what do you think of the shortcomings that have sort of made you come to that decision?
Yeah, so the problem he had with Spurs And it was not just Pochettino, it was a number of managers. He tended to get played in like a wide left position or a second striker. And you're not going to get the best out of Onuma by playing him there. He needs to be in the middle of midfield. And if you play, if he plays in central midfield, then he's got a chance of doing well. And he just didn't really get enough games for our first team in midfield to sort of show what he could do. And add to that, he didn't get a run of games. So every time he had one game, he'd get taken out straight away. Generally, he'd be brought in for like a rotation in the cups or something like that. And I do remember one game. So he played against Monaco. And we beat Monaco 4-1. And he played in a midfield with Tom Carroll and Eric Dier. And he was up against Moutinho and Bakayoko, who then joined Chelsea. And we won 4-1. Onuma had a great game. We dominated that game in midfield. He was kind of playing just ahead of the midfield too. And he looked really good. And he was 18 then. And there's me thinking, this is it. He's got a chance now. He might stake a claim in midfield. And it just never really happened, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a real shame. So, for you, would you say that was the best position for Josh Onuma? And where do you think that he can fit into our team? Because he was the only... We signed a lot of people in the transfer window and across deadline day, but he was the only person that we've got on a permanent. So do you think that he could do a job for us at Fulham? And if you were Scott Parker, where would you think about him slotting into our plan?
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting that Parker's got him. I mean, in my opinion, that's such a perfect matchup, because perhaps the only thing Onuma lacks is that tenacity that Parker has. He's not someone who kind of flies around the pitch, flies into challenges. And sometimes he can look a little bit almost passive, but he's got loads of ability. So he'll play in midfield, he'll pick up the ball, he'll drive forward with it. He's got loads of technical ability in terms of his dribbling. He's very good at receiving the ball on the half turn. He's quite good at seeing a pass. I wouldn't say he's got like elite level vision, but he can spot a pass. And yeah, he's good at getting in a box as well. So if you play in midfield, ideally as part of a midfield three, and give him a bit of freedom to kind of run with the ball and get forward, he won't let you down. He'll do a great job there.
Fantastic. So would you almost describe him as a kind of link-up player?
Yeah, a transition player. So he'll pick up the ball, pick up loose balls in front of a defence, and he'll take a team forward and he'll pick up the pieces and do something with it. So, yeah, I mean, in a strange way, sort of similar to Sissoko's done that role at Spurs, particularly last season, but he's much more technically able than Sissoko. Whilst he doesn't necessarily have the blistering speed that Sissoko has or the immense power, he does have better touch and dribbling ability.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, we recently signed Harry Arty. He had a fantastic debut for us on Saturday against Blackburn, a man of the match performance in many Fulham fans' eyes. But I did feel we're kind of lacking that kind of player who can link up the midfield. We've got obviously Tom Kearney, who's very creative going forward. We still do have the likes of Stefan Johansson, it sounds to me as if Josh Onuma is fairly similar kind of player, maybe not as kind of physically scrappy and shithouserous as Stefan Johansson was, but still can do a role in sort of picking up the ball from deep and driving it forward and sort of linking up the attack. So no, we were very excited to see what he has to offer. He wasn't in the squads against Blackburn on Saturday, but I mean, that's not to say that he won't be involved in the future, and we're all very much looking forward to seeing him sort of get involved, I guess.
Yeah, and it's great for him. He's had a very sort of broken last few years with injuries as much as anything. So he's had two significant loan spells, one at Aston Villa and one at Sheffield Wednesday, and both have been hugely impacted by injury, and he's just not really been able to kind of put a run of games together that's allowed him to gain any form. So I'm really happy to see him at Fulham, a club where I think he'll have a good style of management from Parker that will suit him well, and hopefully he can get back games together and reproduce some of the form that I've seen from him in Spurs' academy teams and for, of course, the England under-20s as well.
Fantastic. No, it sounds good. As I said, we're all very much looking forward to seeing him get stuck in. And it is always sad when you see these young talents come through from your club and maybe not get the kind of the game time that you feel that they could really kick on and make an impact. We've seen many players at Fulham over the last years. I mean, the likes of Christensen, who's gone on and just never really kind of, things didn't really click. And as a young player at 22, and especially English player, you do want to see them sort of find their groove, find their position, because at that age you're still kind of malleable to a certain extent and you can sort of create positions for yourself. I mean, you only need to look at Moussa Dembélé, who joined us when he first joined. He was sort of a right midfielder, and then, you know, he found his feet and found himself sort of really instrumental in that centre midfielder role. So I think that we could see that from the likes of Onuma looking forward to the future.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just a case of finding the right club for a player, and
yeah,
what it doesn't always work out at a particular club. Someone moves to another place and it suddenly clicks and everything works out well. And I really hope that that's the case, because there's plenty of ability there.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it's lovely to hear that from a Spurs fan, that you want to see him do well and want to see him crack on. You feel that he's got potential, because there were a few Fulham fans who were a little bit, and I'm looking to the likes of Don Betts within our Fulhamish ranks, who were a little bit sceptical to begin with, thinking, is he just to kind of throw in to get the Sessegnon deal over the line? Are we recruiting on who we need, or are we recruiting on who's available, which has been a criticism of our recruitment policies over the last few years. But I mean, it seems like he genuinely can do a job for us. And I mean, am I right in saying that Scott Parker would have had some interaction with him when he was at Tottenham, or was that a little bit past?
It's possible. So Parker was managing our under-18s and Onuma was playing up an age. He was playing in the 23s by that point. So it's possible that their paths would have crossed. I'm sure Parker would have watched him on the training ground at some point and taken an interest in all of the young players at Spurs. So yeah, I'm sure he'd have caught his eye. I mean, Parker was also doing his coaching badges at the time where England were performing in the under-20 World Cup as well. And Onuma was a big part of the team that saw them win the under-20 World Cup. So he would probably have caught the eye in that as well.
Fantastic. Well, we can't talk about Josh Onuma without talking about the Fulham boy who went the other way. Are you excited to see what Ryan Sessegnon's got in store in his Tottenham career?
Yeah, massively, massively excited to see what Sessegnon can do. I'm intrigued to see what position we play him in, because I'm very aware that he's obviously started off as a left back at Fulham, ended up playing on the left midfield, then right midfield. He's played in the middle as well. And I don't quite know what Pochettino's got in store for him, but I'm very excited. I'm really interested to get your opinion on Sessegnon and how you'll think he'll adapt to life at Spurs. And also, actually, if you wouldn't mind, just how you thought he did last year, because we've been talking about this a little bit on our podcast. So we don't think he was anywhere near as bad as the media have portrayed last year. Mm. But it'll be fascinating to get your insight on that as well.
No, absolutely. I think with the likes of Sessegnon, that if there's one thing that isn't in any doubt whatsoever is the ability that he has. And in my opinion, is absolutely no doubt that he'll be a big player on the world stage. I mean, he'll be playing for England. He's such a talent. I think with last year, it's tricky, and you can't be too judgmental, because we were playing in a very, very fragmented side that hadn't adapted to Premier League life at all. You know, we didn't have a consistent system or a consistent lineup throughout the whole of the season. And when Ranieri came in, we saw Sessegnon kind of sidelined a little bit. And he just, the whole season, it's unfair to single out Sessegnon and say he had a bad season, because the whole team had a bad season. You know, if you're playing in a team like that and you're a young player and it's your first season within the Premier League, you're not going to set the league on fire. You know, we hardly scored any goals at all. I mean, Sessegnon, I think, he got two or three in the end, which for a team where, you know, if you score three, you're in the top three scores. It's difficult to sort of judge, and we did see those flashes of talent, you know, and it's undeniably there, and we were all so upset to see him go. And it's very rare that you see a player go to one of your kind of London rivals and you genuinely just wish them well. It would be very interesting to see where Pochettino plays him. In my mind, I think he's got him eyed up for the wing back position long term. That's what my feel has been for a while, but as you can see from the season that we went up, his preferred and, in my opinion, strongest position is playing as that kind of left winger in a more advanced role. It'll be really interesting to see, as you said, where Pochettino plays him. But in my opinion, he's got him suited up for that wing back role. It's one element of his game that you could say he could strengthen a little bit, which is his defensive aspect. In our opinion, he's strongest going forward. So it would be seen, but he's still only 19. His game's obviously going to develop. He's going to mature as a player. And I've got absolutely no doubt that he's going to play a big role in your team in the coming years.
That's really good to know, actually. And I think actually playing as a wing back in a Pochettino team typically means you're not doing that much defending anyway.
Yeah,
so it's not the end of the world if he's not, you know, a 10 out of 10 defender. The same could be said for Danny Rose and Kieran Trippier, and they both did okay as Pochettino wing back. So I think it kind of bodes well that his main strength is his attacking play, because he's going to be doing a lot of that as a Spurs wing back. What would you say are his biggest strengths in terms of his attacking play? Because I've seen a bit of him. I've not seen huge amounts, but in the last couple of years, but I saw him quite a bit for England when he was a bit younger. Mm-hmm. And to me, it seemed like he's just a generally good all-rounder in terms of his technical ability. But it's kind of his appreciation of space that stood out to me. He seemed to have excellent spatial awareness and always know when a defender was approaching, and he could just kind of wriggle free in the nick of time.
Yeah, it's the sort of, I mean, the attributes that you just touched upon there, it's the sort of things that you connect to a player who's, you know, seasoned professional. But as you said, it's time, it's spatial awareness. And the thing that really set him apart for me was his attacking positioning. I mean, he's lightning quick off the mark. His acceleration is second to none. And when you combine that with that, just knowing where to be the right place at the right time, anticipating where the ball's going to fall. That season we went up, and the season prior to that, you just knew if there was a loose ball in the box that Sessegnon was going to be on it like a flash, and then it was going to be in the back of the net. And that for me is the thing that really sets Sessegnon apart. It's just his attacking positioning is just phenomenal for someone that age. And then you've got all the physical attributes. You know, he's incredibly fit. He's lightning quick. You've got yourself a very, very exciting player on your hands, and I still can't quite believe that he's gone for just 25 million. But, you know, Levy's working his dastardly ways with the transfer window. It's just textbook Levy. Like, you've been grooming him for years, and I will use that word, because Sessegnon's been linked with Tottenham Hotspur since he was about, I don't know, in the cradle. And it just seemed like that transfer that was always going to happen. And Tony Khan recently, a couple of days ago, did an interview with the club in which he criticised Levy's tactics in how that deal was dealt with, which I think was somewhat naive, because, you know, football club, every man's for himself. You're not going to put the club that you're buying a player off at your interest when you're trying to get the best deal for a player. But I mean, for a young English player who's 19 years old, he's got the amount of potential that Ryan Sessegnon does. I think 25 million and Josh Onoma, you've got yourself a very good deal on your hands.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't be happier in a way that we've finally landed him. As you say, we've been linked with him for what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
And I know we had him watched 3 years ago. I think we've been keeping our eyes on him that whole time. And every transfer window, I've just been thinking, this has got to be the one. Finally, we've got to get Sessegnon over the line. We've got to land him this time. Mm. And I could just see his quoted price creeping up and up and up. So to get him for the price we have got him in for, in a window in which the prices have gone absolutely ballistic, can't argue with what Daniel Levy's done there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, look after him for us, please do. He means a hell of a lot to our supporters, and we genuinely do wish him all the best. As you said, that you feel reciprocal for Josh Onoma. But I won't keep you any longer, Chris. Thank you so much for your time. Very much appreciated. I've been George Cooper. This is Chris Miller, who's part of the Extra Inch, which is a spin-off from the Fighting Cock Tottenham Hotspur podcast. And yeah, best of luck for the rest of the season, mate.
Thanks, George. Take care, mate.
Cheers. Thanks very much, man. Ta-da.
You've been listening to the Extra Inch. Thanks to Nathan A. Clark for production. Thanks to Barney for being Italian. Thanks to Adam Gardner for the artwork. Thanks to David Lindner for our intro music. You can find him on Twitter at Davey Shambles and his SoundCloud, D. Lindner. Do check him out. He's great. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Extra Inch. Email us via podcast@theextrainch.co.uk and subscribe via your usual podcast platforms. And if you do enjoy the podcast, consider leaving us a rating and review. That would really help.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.